Well, welcome everybody. Welcome to today's webcast. Thank you once again for joining us.
Yes, thanks everybody for joining us. It never gets old for us. Mark and I were just saying that we're surprised that people actually turn up.
Yes. We've been doing this a few weeks' time. We'll be coming to the end of our 11th year.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you had said in the UK that it's 11 years of schooling, right?
Yes.
Till 16 for students, so.
Yeah, so year 11 is 16. You can leave school at the end of year 11, or you can stay on and do the sixth form. So, yeah.
Right. So I just said maybe we need to have a graduation party at the end of year 11.
Yes. They like to have their prom, as they call it, don't they, at that time. So maybe in a few weeks we'll bring out the party poppers and put on our best whatevers. Maybe not.
This is as good as it gets for me, so.
this is about as good as it gets for me these days.
Well, absolutely. As we know that you don't need those suits anymore.
No, that's right. The suit is hung in the cupboard for the odd occasion, the very odd occasion. Yes. It might be needed. So yes, and a lot of other things have gone to the charity shop.
So, that's awesome.
That's definitely the finale or whatever. Yeah, so how are things in your world, Barry?
Everything is doing well here in Canada. Of course, as we get older, we talk about the weather so much, and spring has sprung, as they say here, and it's 28 degrees, feeling like 32, sunny. Mm-hmm. So I can't complain.
That's good. Well, we're pleased for you. Yes, well, I have a little bit of good news for the day. I got a call from my doctor's surgery to summon me for my number 2 vaccine tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
So at 14:57 precisely.
Wow.
In your language, that's 3 minutes to 3.
Yes. Is that and that's early, right? So they called you earlier than normal?
Yeah, I mean, the amazing thing is that at the weekend, Boris Johnson said, because there's a new variant getting a bit of ground in the UK, Boris Johnson said at the weekend, he said they are bringing forward the second vaccination for people so that they can really get the second one done sooner. And my second one was supposed to be in 3 weeks' time, 3.5 weeks' time. And they brought it literally within 3 days of that announcement. They brought it forward till tomorrow.
Wow!
So that's really, really impressive.
Very much so.
There's a couple of places in the UK where the Indian variant is taking a bit of ground, but they're just blitzing it with mobile vaccination. They've got buses. You go in the front door of the bus and you get jabbed and you go out the back door.
Wow. The UK has been a model of how to do this, you know, worldwide. So good on you guys.
Well, I kind of think we scored a few points on this one.
Yeah. And in Canada, we've just reached the 50% marker for first shots. So
yeah.
Which is,
okay, you're doing well.
We're doing quite well, and I think we as far as percentage of population per capita, I think we pass the U.S. tomorrow.
Okay, that you're competing, of course.
No, of course not. We love our American brothers, and they've been a real model for this as well. But we've had a vaccine shortage here in our country, and so now we're just catching up. So good on you, mate. You're going to get yours tomorrow.
That's the plan. I shall be down there at 14:57 on the dot. It's absolutely fascinating because it is a military exercise in precision. You know, they have everybody standing outside and they look at their watch and they say, it's 14:57. Will the 6 people who have got 14:57 appointments come in now? They take you in, you hand sanitize, and then you go into 3 different lines for 3 different doctors or nurses, and then you're out within a couple of minutes. It is very impressive. So that's feel, we're doing something right.
Yeah, I think you are, for sure.
Yeah. So, anything new that we need to talk about, or?
Yeah, not a whole lot, other than some dear soul in Germany wanted the Father's Love Letter devotional for their parents, and they took the time to translate it properly, just for their parents. And I just love those kinds of stories. And so yesterday we were able to announce that we've just got that available. So that's pretty cool. And we just got yesterday a new Hungarian version of the Father's Love Letter as well, in the video form. So yeah. So, you know, here we are, you know, almost 22 years later, and, you know, things are still happening with that.
So how many languages is the Father's Love Letter in at the moment? 120?
On our website, there's 123. And of course there's, we have no idea, like, because, you know, we discover people have been sharing it. They translated it in different languages and, you know, and Amazon tribal languages and Papua New Guinea languages. And so we don't know how many exist as far as, you know, globally, but, on our site, 123.
That's pretty good going.
It's a start.
It's a start. What are there, about 300 worldwide languages? I mean, there's probably more.
I think there's thousands actually, but okay. That, you know, you get into, I mean, that would be the major languages, but then you get into the, you know, the, like the one language, forget the name of it, from Papua New Guinea, there was, Warren language, and, mm-hmm. and it, 14,000 people, speak that. And they, and when they got the Father's Love Letter, the missionary actually produced it as a video and played it on a big screen in the jungle. And it was the first video they've ever seen. Like, you know, they'd never seen a video before, and it was in their mother tongue. So, yeah, so that's pretty cool. So, you know, when you count all those tribal languages, I think it's thousands. But then, you know, the internet becomes an issue as far as getting it through the internet.
Oh, really? What about all these new satellite trains that Elon Musk is putting up there, you know, that are going to beam satellite internet into the remote locations, Barry? You could take a stake with him, you know. Bitcoin has dropped by 50% in the last couple of days, so you can invest in his satellite trains to beam the Father's Love Letter all over the world.
Well, I'm cheering them on. I you know, the internet, as we know, is the Roman's road of today. So, who knows? Could you imagine, you know, having people log on in these tribal languages? I mean, electricity might be an issue, but.
Yeah. I, to be honest, Barry, I think 20 years ago, I would never have imagined that we would have been doing this. What we're doing today.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the quality that we've got, you know, I just think. It's just going leaps and bounds, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So
what are we going to talk about tonight, mate?
Well, we've done the weather and we've done the vaccine, so let's do something a bit different. Yeah, we've just been having the last couple of days. I've been doing some seminars with Wynette, and we really hoped Wynette would be with us this evening, and then we'd have had the three of us on. But unfortunately, Wynette's just not feeling great this evening. So she's backed out of it. But we just done a couple of day seminars, Wynette and I, talking about the embrace of comfort. And we wanted to have a discussion amongst the three of us. It's now the two of us, kind of just talking about comfort, kind of talking about some of the things we were talking about over the last couple of days. Had a good time. Felt like there was just, particularly when Wynette was sharing yesterday, she talked on being face to face with God and just that face to face encounter. It was very, very good. They're actually on my YouTube channel, A Father to You. So if you go to YouTube, find my A Father to You channel. There's a playlist called Embraced, and there's 8 sessions in it. And the first 4 are the ones I did with Barry. Last month, Embracing a Childlike Heart. And then the second 4 are the ones we've done over the last couple of days. So you're very welcome just to dip into those if you want to. So that's what I was doing this morning, was putting all of the series into playlists and linking them all together and having a bit of fun. kind of over the last couple of days, we've been talking about comfort, and what we thought we'd do is just do a little summary, and then I'll bring Barry back on and we'll kind of just chat about it together. But on Monday, yes, it's Wednesday, so on Monday, Wynette started off talking about the mother heart of God, the experiences of tenderness and the kindness of the Father's love, that expression of nurture, and just how many people have missed out on that. And, you know, the container within each one of us to receive love, and the fact that, you know, the reality is, I think the reality is none of us have received the love we needed. And some of us have received love to varying different extents, but there's this container inside each of us that is ready and waiting to be filled with love. And the good thing is the Father can just pour that love into our hearts. He can give us everything that we need, everything that we've ever needed. And so we started on Monday just looking at that and just recognizing really it's never too late. It's never too late to receive that download of love into the container of our hearts. You see, if that container's not filled with love, we fill it with all sorts of other things, which don't do us much good. But when we actually recognize our need for love and we allow love to fill the container of our heart, it just really does transform our lives. So we kind of started with that, the container, the whole, the need for love. And really, I think that the thing that whenever we talk about this, it's not condemning, it's not judging, it's not highlighting something negatively, but it's actually recognizing the human need inside each one of us. And the Father never judges, he never condemns. And, but once we begin to recognize that need for love, then he pours his love into our hearts. It's not his ability to love us, it's our ability to receive love. He's loving us all the time with an everlasting love. So we kicked off with that on Monday. Then on Monday after the second session, I talked about comfort and particularly focused on loss and trauma and then the emotional bombardment of grief. You know, the different, when we go through loss or trauma, whatever that loss is, whatever that trauma is, and, you know, we all face loss, we all face trauma, and it's, we need to be comforted in the small losses and the small traumas as much as the big ones. Because actually, none of them are small. They're all events that mark us and leave a mark on our heart. And so I talked about just how grief is that horrible bombardment of pain and shock and outrage and anger and despair, and very easy to lose hope. And, you know, when our hope has gone, it's desperate. But, you know, the reality is we can always have hope because, as it says in Lamentations, you know, in Lamentations chapter 3, the guy's having a really bad day and he gets to the point and he says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning." And so grief is this bombardment of emotion. But mourning, to me, mourning is actually the process of walking through that grief and all of its different expressions. And sometimes, you know, that journey can be dark. Sometimes it can be lonely. Sometimes that journey, that mourning, that journey of mourning through the grief can be challenging, difficult, painful. And sometimes we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But you know, as we go through that, there will come a day, there will come a time when we come out of the tunnel. And of course, mourning is different for each of us, just as grief and loss is different for each of us. And it says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And it's as we mourn, it doesn't say blessed are those who grieve. It says blessed are those who mourn, they will be comforted. And so it's as we go through on the journey through grief, which is the journey of mourning, as we go through the journey of grief, that mourning process, we are comforted. And so we just took an opportunity just to receive comfort for the loss, for the pain, the grief, and just to give ourselves permission to mourn. And for some people, mourning, it takes a day. For some people, it takes a year, 6 months, whatever, but it doesn't matter. You know, it's different for each of us, and it goes in waves and cycles, and we just have to give ourselves to the process and allow ourselves to mourn. So that was Monday. Tuesday, yesterday, I talked about living in love and how it's really possible for us to live in love. And that really, I just described very briefly a journey that Moses went through. In Exodus 33, you know, the Lord said to Moses, you know, lead the people. And he goes kind of like, what? Me? You know, lead all of these people? And his reaction is, who's gonna come and help me? You see? And it's like he sees the problem, but he doesn't know the answer. And it's like this cry of despair, you know, that one famous word, help. And Moses cries out for help. You know, who's going to help me? And then the next thing he says is, you know, if you've pleased with me, teach me your ways. And it's like he's saying, I need to know what to do. Show me. Give me the rule book. Teach me your ways. And then the Lord answers him and says, Moses, forget who's going to go with you. Forget the rule book. My presence will go with you. And I will give you rest. And I just feel like for all of us, there's that place of finding a home in his presence. And however bad the Lamentations days might be, you know, when you read Lamentations chapter 3, it kind of describes our day, you know, our day, what it's like for us. And, you know, however bad those days are, we can always have hope. But if we desire and long for and seek his presence, that's the place where we find contentment and rest. And it's in that place when we find his presence that we are comforted. And so, the encouragement I was just giving people is just to find that place of his presence. And Wynette and I hadn't really talked about this as to what she was going to share and what I was going to share. But yesterday, she in the second session, she went straight on into talking about a face-to-face encounter with God. And it was really very, very good. And she spoke a lot out of her own experience, the struggle with health over 10 years, the struggle of losing close friends in very, very traumatic circumstances. But you know, she just talked about this face-to-face encounter, that when we have a face-to-face encounter, we actually look into the Father's eyes, and the Father looks into our eyes. You see, we were made for connection, and you know, it just dovetails so well with what I've been talking about finding his presence. When we're in his presence, we have that connection. And we see him face to face. And she read a verse from Romans chapter 10 out of the Passion Translation. And it's Romans 10, verse 8. And it says this: the faith righteousness we receive speaks to us in these words of Moses. God's living message is very close to you, as close as your own heart beating in your chest, and as near as the tongue in your mouth. You know, and that just speaks of that very intimate connection we have with the Father. and that relationship where he sees into our heart and we see into his heart. And that's the place of comfort, you know, when we're in that place. And so we just, Barry and I just want to unpack this a little bit together this evening. And my heart is, and I know Barry's will be as well, is we just want to give opportunity for us once again to be comforted and to receive comfort, to find that place where we really can seek and find his presence. You know, many of us are experiencing trauma at the moment, and many of us are experiencing loss, and you know, we've been bombarded with the emotional upheaval of grief, and it's like we are desperate to be comforted. And if we can't find that place of comfort, we try and find it in other things, in other places, in other people, in possessions, and not, you know. But, and you know, there's nothing wrong with some of those things, but they're not our ultimate source of comfort. And I my desire this evening, today, is that we can find that place of comfort, that as we mourn, we can be comforted. As we look at the things we've lost, we can allow our hearts to be comforted. You see, the alternative, which isn't actually very attractive, but the alternative is to deny those things, deny the loss, deny the trauma, and kind of dig a big hole and bury it. But it only comes back to bite us in the whatever if we do that. But when we face it with the Father, he comforts us. And so kind of that's the overview. I could get onto a roll with all of this because I love it so much. But, you know, I want to bring Barry in and just, you know, he will have good things to say.
No, thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. It's yeah, everything you said is absolutely amazing. I think the, you know, when I think of comfort in that way, in that context, it can be pretty intense, right? It's I know I've been in meetings before, and in more of a charismatic setting, where I felt like the Father wanted to deal with comfort, but to deal with comfort was to go to the place of the pain, but not to expose the pain for the pain's sake, but so he could comfort. And I can remember this one particular meeting. I felt like, yes, this is where the Father wanted to go, to comfort his kids. And all of a sudden, it felt like I could. All of a sudden, it was like we stopped. Like I felt like there was this wall, and it was like the pain was so great. It was like people were like, no, you know. I mean, it wasn't anything articulated, but it was just kind of it was unspoken. It just felt like they just didn't want to go there, and they just wanted to kind of keep it, you know, lighthearted and fun, and which is, you know, Father understands those things too, right? If we, you know, because he doesn't push us into a place where we're just not ready to go, but like when we begin to understand that he does want to comfort us on a level that is beyond anything we've ever dreamed of before. And you know, when King David said in Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14, that that God is as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are made. He remembers that we came from dust. And it's the idea, I think, oftentimes that when we need to be comforted, we feel ashamed for needing the comfort. We feel bad. You know, it's like the old thing, big boys don't cry. You know, little boys are said that, you know, well-meaning parents growing up. And yet, you know, and I think sometimes we even think that God, like he expects us to, you know, have a stiff upper lip, right? And, you know, just to get, you know, keep calm and carry on kind of thing. And but yet he's the Father of compassion. And he wants to comfort us in the midst of that. And part of that comforting is that he understands what we're going through. You know, that, you know, even in that the passage in Psalms, it says that he remembers that we came from dust. He understands our frailty. Mm-hmm. He understands our fallibility. He understands our fears. He's not shocked by any of them. He knows why we're afraid. He knows why we maybe are afraid to open our hearts because of, you know, previous experiences where our hearts got damaged. But yet I do feel, like you said, you know, the desire that in his heart, and even in this time that we're here together, is that there's this gentle coaxing by his Spirit saying, you know, I just, you know, trust me. You know, I won't damage your heart. I won't judge you for the things that you're struggling with. And I do want to comfort you. So, yeah, I just think it's, I think the depth of that, I think, is beyond anything we've ever experienced before.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the, so often, like, loss or trauma, it comes unannounced, doesn't it? It kind of, we're not expecting it to happen. You know, everything's going on fine, and suddenly an Exocet missile comes in from off left and zaps us, and it's like, whoa, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And you know, of course, those emotions are so real in that moment. And you know, I guess I keep coming back to that very well known passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. And, you know, I would underline and highlight and put in bold that word all, because, you know, nothing is outside the scope of the Father's comfort. And, you know, he comforts us in all our troubles. So you can underline and highlight and bold, and, you know, it's all comfort in all of our troubles. And, you know, I think sometimes we want to rush on to the next bit of the verse, you know, the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our troubles so we can comfort other people. And we want to kind of rush on to do that.
Mm.
But actually we need to stop and we need to be comforted ourselves. And, you know, somebody asked me one time, Mark, how much comfort do I need? They told me their story and they said, well, how much comfort do I need? And I said, I have got no idea. But I said to them, just go on receiving comfort, go on being comforted until you know it's done. And sometimes that's quick. Sometimes we get to a place and, yeah, we feel okay. And then 6 months later it comes back and we have to say, Father, I need more. And I think there's been a terrible, terrible thing in the church, is that we haven't allowed ourselves to be comforted, or we haven't allowed other people to be comforted. We kind of point the finger at them and, you know, what's wrong with you? You know, and it's kind of like we are the ones that are then heaping condemnation on other people and saying there's something wrong with you, whereas, you know, they're going and we see the trauma that they've suffered and we think, well, what's the big deal about that? You know, I could cope with that, and that is the reality. You know, there are some things I could cope with that Barry couldn't cope with, and there's some things that he could cope with that would knock me for six, because we all react in different ways and it's okay. Yeah. And what I find myself doing with people when they're walking through the pain of loss is to say it's okay. Mm. And to give people permission. Because I think that permission has been denied to people. Do you think so, Barry?
Well, absolutely. I think, you know, when you think about even body life, right, in 1 Corinthians 12, when Paul is giving instruction to the body, in that not everybody is an ear, not everybody's a thumb, you know, we are all part of the body. One of the things that there's an encouragement for us there and other places in Scripture where it says, weep with those who weep, mm-hmm. and rejoice with those who rejoice. And I think we're really good at rejoicing with those who rejoice. And I think one of the things that, and I think it's done out of the best of intentions, is that so many people, when they see people weeping or seeing mm-hmm. them mourning, it's like everything in us wants to, for all the right reasons, pull them out of that. Yeah. And oftentimes it can be premature, and just us trying to cheer them up and trying to get them to, you know, quoting all the scriptures and things isn't very helpful. That, you know, and so what I wonder about, what would life look like, in body life even, if somebody was weeping, that we wouldn't try to get them to stop weeping. We wouldn't try to admonish them or encourage them or, you know, have a homily and try to convince them to stop, but that we would just weep alongside of them.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in essence, if in my thinking, if this is body life, if this is the instruction that we have to be able to come alongside people and weep alongside of them, then to me, it must originate in the heart of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, like, just the, you know, my encouragement to anybody who is going through any trauma or any difficulties in your life, when I say this, it's a rhetorical question because I believe it's the truth, is what if the Father is weeping with you? Like, what if, you know, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity is so connected with you. It's not like they are moved by your emotions, you know, I'm not saying that our emotions can be up and down because, and, you know, they love us from an eternal perspective. But what if they are just so moved with compassion in that moment of your suffering that they're suffering alongside of you? And I know for us in our own personal experience, you know, with our daughter when she was going through cancer treatment and we didn't even know if she'd survive. You know, there were people, God bless them, who were trying to, in their best efforts to try to, you know, kind of get us to change, you know, to just, you know, kind of chin up and, you know, just, you know, you can get through this. And I appreciate that, and I don't mean to be hard on it, but the ones who would come and would just be quiet and sit with us and just be there. It was just like there was that fellowship of suffering. So, I don't know. I just want to encourage people that if you're going through any hardship today, just ask the Father where he is in that hardship. How does he relate to you in that? And ask the Holy Spirit to bring an awakening, you know, opening the eyes of our hearts, having ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, and being able to realize how close the Father is. In Psalm 34, it says that God is close to the brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. He doesn't rebuke the brokenhearted. He doesn't try to change the theology. He is just close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I suppose I've really come to experience that as we are comforted, our heart is taken home. Mm. There's so much in Isaiah about this, and I just want to read a couple of verses from Isaiah 51, where Isaiah says, "The Lord comforts Zion; he comforts all her waste places, and he makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her." Thanksgiving and the voice of song. You know, that's just the promise. You know, the Lord comforts Zion. And we're Zion, you know, that's us. You know, the Lord comforts us. And as he comforts us, and this is just the beautiful thing, and I know this is what I've experienced in my life, and, you know, what I've seen many people experience in their lives is the complete transformation that comfort brings to our hearts. Mm. You know, Isaiah says he comforts all her waste places and he makes her wilderness like the Garden of Eden. Mm. And he makes the desert like the garden of the Lord. you know, you think of a desert and it's just barren, isn't it? There's nothing growing there. There's no life. There's no, you know, it's just sand and rock. And you look at it and you think, is there any life there? A few years ago, Fiona and I were in Israel, and we got a tour guide to take us out into the Negev desert, which was stunningly beautiful. It was absolutely incredible. And it was just sand, and it was just completely barren, and the rock formations were amazing, and my camera was clicking madly, and, you know. But then the guy said to us, he said, let me go and show you the tulips. Now, this guy's a Dutchman, okay? So the Dutch like tulips, we understand that, but we're in the Negev. And he says, let me go and show you the tulips. So we kind of go, what? And he drove along this desert track, and we went around the corner of a rock. And below me, there were a little bunch of beautiful tulips growing in this desert.
Wow.
And we said, well, how does that happen, you know? And he said, well, it rained a few days ago, and the seed is in the soil, and until the rain comes, the seed can't grow.
Wow.
And it's like, wow, you know, this was amazing. This was like tulips in the desert. And that is what Isaiah is talking about. That the desert, except not five or six tulips in the Negev, but the tulip fields of the Netherlands, you know. That, when the Father comforts us, what we feel is like a waste place, a barren place, a desert. There are seeds, there's life buried in the sand. And his comfort is like the rain that brings the life out. And as we're comforted, that's exactly what happened in our heart. The desert, the barren place, is transformed. And joy and gladness will be found in us once again. Thanksgiving and the voice of song. And, you know, I just think this is the incredible transformation of comfort. And then in verse 11 of chapter 51, it says this, those the Lord has rescued will return. So we're rescued through being comforted. Because this is just following straight on. We're rescued through being comforted.
Yeah.
And we will return. We will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. Now, you may not feel that's what you feel like today. That might not be where you're at today. It might not be where you're going to be tomorrow or the next day or next week. But that is the unchangeable promise of the Father for you.
Yeah.
And it will happen.
Yeah.
That as you are comforted, what feels like a desert will be transformed and life will come again.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage you. You know, people say to me, how long does this take? And I just say, I have no idea. I'm not very good on these questions. You know, I don't know is the answer. How long does it take? How much comfort do I need? I don't know. It takes as long as it takes, and you need as much comfort as you need. But I just want to encourage you just to give yourself to that process of being comforted.
Yeah, the, you know, we talked about last week the, you know, how love is stuff, right?
Yeah.
That is, love is substance. Love is something even physiologically. It actually changes the wiring of our brain and the neural pathways and our hormones respond to love. And of course, I would say it's the same, because really comfort is an expression of love. Right, because God loves us, He comforts us, He's engaged with us, and I, as Mark says, I really believe that that there it's a substance of comfort that He really wants us to experience. And now, and I do think that there are seasons, right? The Scripture says in the Psalms, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And weeping needs to endure for the night. And when we are in seasons of suffering and grief and mourning and some of those things, you know, we are in them. And you know, some, you know, so we may, you know, even when you hear this, it may be something of that brings hope. You know, it may not be your present reality, but even in the present reality, I really believe that we can experience the Godhead identifying with us at such a heart level that it sustains us through that. But you know, when you talk, Mark, of some of the substance of it, the practical issues, you know, I just couldn't help but think of Isaiah 61. You know, of course, being the what Jesus read from to declare his public ministry in the New Testament. And it speaks of practical things, right? It doesn't speak of just conceptual things. I'm just going to read a few of the verses. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit." And so when we think about these things, these are tangible impartations, really, in the sense that, you know, we have beauty for our ashes, the oil of joy for our mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so, you know, I think, you know, I think our encouragement, you know, and I think when we go into our ministry time, you know, we'll be agreeing with you, but it's just that there is a substance of the love of the Father that he wants to impart to you today in any areas that you are wrestling with, and even to give yourself permission to be able to understand that you need this, that you were created. God created us to experience comfort. You know, we see it as weakness, but I really believe that, you know, if we don't experience comfort from the source of comfort, then, you know, knowingly or unknowingly, we will seek it in other places. You know, whether it's comfort food, or addictions, or you know, relationships that aren't healthy, or just self-protection and all those things. And I just believe the Father, I just believe by his Spirit, he just wants, like, I just feel that there's a substance of him, of his heart, that he wants to impart to you wherever you are and whatever you're going through today. So, yeah, yes and amen to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to encourage us that this can be possible to live like this. You know, the Bible wasn't written to condemn us of all the things that we're not doing right. Sometimes we think, oh, you know, it's a great checklist, you know. Oh. You know, the Bible wasn't written as that condemnation of something that we're never going to achieve, never going to be able to hit. Mm-hmm. It was kind of written to show us what life really can be like.
Yeah.
And so when John says in 1 John 4:16, we can know and rely on the love the Father has for us, he means it. You know, John is writing of an experience. At the beginning of that letter, he says, look, I'm writing, hey guys, he says, I'm writing to you, not with a list of rules, but I'm writing to tell you what I've experienced, what I've touched, mm-hmm. what I've seen, what I've heard with my ears, you know. This is the reality. So, you know, so when he says in 1 John 4:16, we can know and rely on the love that God has for us, he's talking about his own life. He's talking about his own experience. And it's, these words, knowing and relying, they're experiential words. And, you know, it's written to encourage us and to show us what life can be really like for us. That you and I can know and rely on the love the Father has for us. You know, I just want to finish with 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It's a well-known verse. And then perhaps, Barry, we can just go and just take some time to pray for us all. But 1 John 3, verse 1. See what great love. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. For that is who you are. It's who I am. Yeah. You see, he's lavished his love on us because we're his kids. And he wants us to know it and know it and know it. And that word lavish is such a generous word. You know, it's not a trickle, it's not a drip, it's not a ration. It's a torrent, it's a cascade. It's, you know, it's just the generous love. It's all of the eternal love of the Father caught up into this moment and poured into your heart. See how great the love. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. That's who we are.
Amen.
So, Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, that you're loving each one of us right now. I just want to leave a few moments of silence for us to receive. Just open your heart and just receive. Father, just let a river of your love flow into our hearts. Father, may we allow ourselves to be spoiled by your love. That you really are lavishing your love on us. And we just want to receive that, Father. Father, just strip away anything that says we're unworthy or not good enough. We are worthy to receive all of your goodness, all of your kindness, because we are your children. We are your sons and daughters. And Father, as many people will be suffering pain and loss and trauma, Father, would you take their hand and lead them on that journey of mourning, that they may be comforted. And even when it feels dark, even when they can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, even when it feels like it's hopeless, may something inside remember, this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. But Father, even in those moments of hopelessness, may we remember something. May we remember your steadfast love never ceases. And however bad that experience feels, Father, may we be comforted. May we find that table of good things, your provision, in the midst of our enemies. The right there with our enemies surrounding us, you lay a table of good things, and you invite us to sit down at this table and to feast. And we don't have to worry about all the enemies. We don't have to worry about the valley of the shadow of death that is around us, because you are our strength and you are our protection. And you lift us onto a high rock, a place of safety and security. You hide us in the shelter of your wings. Father, we can truly look to you and be satisfied. Yeah. Thank you, Father, that you fight on our behalf.
Yeah.
And that we can let go of all of that striving to try and look after ourselves, because that's just the orphan-hearted way. But you do that for us, Father. May we be just the people who desire your presence. Yeah. And in that place where we find your presence, there you give us rest. And as Moses said, if your presence doesn't go, then I ain't going anywhere. Father, may we just dwell in your presence. One thing I seek, this I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Thank you, Father, that's the best place to be. Father, just in the busyness of life, just quieten our hearts, that we would find rest for our souls in your arms. Thank you, Father.
And Father, we just open our hearts up to you, to the substance of your love.
Yeah.
We know and rely on your love, Father.
Yeah.
We trust in your love. Your love is like oxygen to us.
Yeah.
And even now, Father, we come to you in our, each and every one of us, in our unique circumstances. Thank you, Father, that you are the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. That you understand us, you don't judge us, you just are close when we have a broken heart, and you promise to save us when our spirits are crushed. And so, Father, we just come before you as your little boys and little girls tonight that are just so desperate to know, to experience you loving us in this very moment. And I just have the picture, you know, certainly our children when they were young, and my grandchildren now, when they get hurt, they come with their owies, you know, they come and just, they just are open-hearted. And Father, just, you know, every wound, every disappointment, every devastation that we've experienced, every uncertainty of the future. And so, Father, even as we breathe, even in this moment, we breathe in your love. We just believe that you are so close to us. And we thank you for the substance of your love that brings comfort, that quiets our anxieties and stills our hearts. Father, we pray the peace that passes understanding would just guard our mind right now and our hearts. Protect us, Father. Wow. And I think of Romans 16:20 that says, and Paul says, may the God of peace, like that, he will soon crush Satan under your feet. Wow. He does the crushing. We're just little. Thank you, Abba.
Well, thanks, folks. Thanks for joining us once again. Just go on being comforted. May the Father sing over you as you sleep. For those of us who are about to go to bed. May he sing over you anyway, whether you're going to bed or not. Next week, we'll be back same time, same place. We are hoping, technology willing, we are hoping to be able to beam in all the way from Motomioni, Uganda, Ingrid Wilts. But it is dependent on technology being willing. So I'm going to do some testing this week with her. But if all goes well, we'll have Ingrid with us next week, which will be very, very good. So come and join us. If for any reason Ingrid starts and drops out, Barry and I will make it up as we go along and whatever.
as we normally do.
So thank you all very much, and just have a good week. Bless you. Thanks, Barry.
Thanks, Mark.